Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Tony Wasilowski, senior correspondent here at RFERL. Thanks for joining me today, Tony.
Thanks for inviting me, Steve.
All right. We're going to go beyond Moscow a bit. I'd like to get into the subject we're discussing today by starting with a piece of news from the weekend. Russian news agencies said that on Saturday, a plane left Prague for Moscow with 54 Russian embassy employees and their families aboard. And I think there are more slated to leave today. That sounds unusual. Tony, you wrote a great article last week that got into the reasons for what is going on and also the consequences. Let's start with the reasons. Just tell us in a nutshell why so many Russian diplomats would be leaving the Czech Republic on a single flight.
Sure. Well, this all started back on April 17th. This was a Saturday. And out of the blue, Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš called an unscheduled press conference. At this press conference, he announced that a Czech intelligence had uncovered that way back in 2014, in the east of the country, there had been this explosion at an arms depot that left two dead and caused widespread damage, that two GR Russian military intelligence agency agents were to blame. These are the same two guys, Alexander Mishkin and Anatoly Chepiga, who were also accused of the 2018 poisoning attempts on the Skripals in Salzburg. So that's how this all started. On that same very day, Babiš announced the first wave of Russian expulsions, 18. These were identified as either GRU agents or members of the Foreign Intelligence Agency, the SVR.
Mm-hmm.
A little more about this this explosion. More came out that it was a very important operation for the Kremlin. This famous GRU unit 29155 was allegedly involved. General Andrei Averyanov was overseeing it. The arms at the depot were being stored for a Bulgarian arms trader, Emilian Gebrev, who denied that they were. Destined for Ukraine, but that was the suspicion. And so in 2014, obviously, we're at the beginning of the conflict or the crisis in eastern Ukraine, where Russia was backing separatists in the Donbass area.
Mm-hmm.
So for Czechs, this was considered state-sponsored terrorism, although some of the Kremlin-friendly leaders or politicians here, including foremost President Miloš Zeman, first said nothing and then a week later finally chimed in and said that maybe human error was to blame. And this was something that wasn't even mentioned by Czech intelligence, and Russian media really lapped that up.
Right. And, of course, this whole scandal or this dispute and these expulsions come at a time when relations between Moscow and Prague have been quite tense over history, essentially World War II history and the 1968 invasion of Czechoslovakia. So it has that background, and those things were kind of bubbling up, certainly.
Yeah, exactly. The relationships have kind of been on a downward trajectory for a while. You mentioned these arguments or disputes over history, plaques, the statues here related to Soviet generals and the role of the Vlasov army in liberating Prague at the end of World War II have sparked all these debates. And then you had cyber attacks on Czech infrastructure during the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic that were partially linked to Kremlin-backed hackers too. So these relations have really kind of been have been getting worse over at least the last 2 years, if not even longer.
Right, and this kind of seems to be kind of a watershed, I think, in terms of setting those relations kind of on a new level. I mean, certainly a lower level, but a new level in terms of what Russia can expect and count on in terms of its presence in the Czech Republic And let's talk about that, sort of the consequences of, of the what the Czech Republic claims about these explosions, and then the expulsions of, dozens of Russian diplomats. Now, the Russian diplomatic presence has been, until now, quite large in the Czech Republic, in Prague. It's, I think it's the biggest of all countries, if I'm not mistaken. And I think there have been, suspicions. In your story, you cited experts saying that this what's happening would deal a significant blow to Russia's espionage operations in the Czech Republic and maybe beyond. But the story also pointed out that Russia has other ways, other channels for spying, and as well as other channels for other varieties of what Western officials sometimes call malign activities. So tell us a bit about the consequences.
Sure. Just foremost, I think first you had the 18 expulsions. The next day, the Russians came back with 20 expulsions, tit for tat, diplomatic expulsions for the Czechs, which was proportionally much higher. So that triggered the second round. So the Czechs said, okay, we have, you've cut our diplomatic staff down to less than 50%. We're going to do the same thing to you, and that's going to amount to 63 additional expulsions. And that, people told me, was something that the Kremlin just had just didn't think the Czechs would do. They wouldn't go to that second round, and this really just infuriated the Kremlin, according to the experts I spoke to. And like this Alexander Morozov, a Russian journalist and researcher here at Charles University, said, this has done damage. That this takes years, because I asked him, can't the Russians move their espionage activities to, say, Budapest, where there's also another Kremlin-friendly leader? Or maybe somewhere else. And he said, no, you can't do this. This is years of, kind of building up these networks. And now you've all that work for the Kremlin's perspectives has been destroyed. Talking to Mr. Jan Padorek, who's a former Czech counter-espionage intelligence official here, he said, the Russians still have other assets here. They also own, just within Prague, 32, including the embassy, 32 real estate buildings.
Right.
There's also a 45,000 strong Russian community that's tripled within the last decade. So within that, you can have people from, working undercover as journalists, businessmen, entrepreneurs, students who might, or people even in the NGO community within Russian organizations that could be brought in by the Kremlin for Russian espionage activity. So as Podorek said, this is obviously a blow, but the Russians have these other options available. There's still very significant Russian presence here that the Kremlin can employ or exploit.
Right. And I guess, of course, I would imagine that, the embassy and the diplomats have been the biggest part of that. So it does seem like quite a blow. And was there any talk about, you mentioned, why couldn't they move to Budapest? Did you get a sense of whether the operations that were based here or that have been based here in the Czech Republic kind of go beyond the Czech Republic and into other places in Central Europe?
Well, that's something that the Czech Security Intelligence Agency, almost every year they come out with their report of activities from the previous year, and it regularly cites either the Russian intelligence services being involved in intelligence activities or launching intelligence operations into other European EU countries from here. Mm-hmm. Specifics are kind of not given in those instances.
Right.
It's probably maybe it seems like the cyber attack, cyber crime is kind of the way. And they also talk about disinformation campaigns,
right,
and that being that can originate here too. But as far as specific acts that that can be. Intelligence agencies won't come out with that type of specific information.
Right. Okay. Well, Tony, thanks very much. We're running out of time. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Oh, it was nice to be with you, Steve.
Okay. I'll be back next Monday for another look at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.